Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi everyone, I'd like to introduce you to Laura Hughes, who is a coordinator / treasurer of a charity here in Devon called More Vision. Hi Laura.
Hi Joe.
Hi Laura.
Hi Michael.
Right, we'd like to start by sort of getting a little bit of background, sort of how you got into the world of visual impairment, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, I've worked for some time for RNIB as a transcription officer. I'm a Braillist and I do mainly Braille transcription, large print and electronic text. And I've been there for a long time and I was working there when I was expecting my first child. No history of sight loss in my family at all. And it was therefore quite a surprise when we had our first child that it was quite clear from when she was born that there was a problem with her sight.
So what was it like when you were, you know, obviously you knew about sight loss from your work at the RNIB, but what was it actually like to, you know, have a chat, to be told that your daughter was visually impaired?
I think it was quite a shock. Most of the people that we dealt with at RNIB were older, and there was very little sort of mention that about children, so it was quite a shock. It wasn't something that happened overnight. We knew from when she was born that there was something wrong because the way her eyes looked, but it was several years before we had a firm diagnosis, and she was registered partially sighted when she was about seven. So it wasn't like an overnight thing, but it was, it's always been the overriding worry for her and about her and how she'd cope has always been there, coupled with, sadly, very little, if any, support from the hospitals.
So would the fact that you didn't get support with your daughter when she was young, did that sort of encourage you to sort of work more within More Vision and sort of get into that sort of work where you could make a difference for other people?
Yeah, I think that was a really big part of it because at the time we had Tui, because she's 15 now, we didn't even have a computer. It was just at the stage where people were just starting to get computers at home. But the internet was quite young. There was a lot less around. And we had her. And I remember, going to the hospital with this tiny baby. I mean, she was tiny, just, days old. And them saying, well, there's definitely something wrong with her sight, but we don't really know what or what will happen. And you just go home. And that happened for years, where every time we'd go, they'd say, something about her sight. But we weren't given any information about the RNIB, which, of course, I knew about because I worked for them, but or National Blind Children's Society or anything. But I think the real trigger for me was that she got to about seven or eight, and we realised that she hadn't ever met another blind or visually impaired child. And we were talking about her secondary education and how she couldn't go to the school in Exeter because it had become very much a school for children with sight loss and complex needs. So she'd have to go to our local secondary. And she said, Mummy, it's like I'm not bad enough for there and I'm not good enough for here. I don't fit in anywhere. And I found that really, just really, really, really hard.
Yeah, because for us, we went through specialist education, so that was just a done deal in the 80s. Mm. My parents were told, well, you put them in specialist education, you didn't get a choice. But that's something that we've talked about, that actually fitting in is something that you don't experience very often as a visually impaired person.
You're always the different one, if you know what I mean.
You are, and I think in some ways the move to mainstream education, It can be good and it can work very well for some disabilities and for some children. But I think because sight loss is such a low incidence disability of childhood, you often end up with the child with sight loss being absolutely the only one. And being the only one in a small primary school of 100 was one thing, but being the only one in a secondary school of 2000 is actually something else altogether. And it isn't a choice. It's for her. In a way, they don't have a choice. These children get put in mainstream education, and it's not right for all of them.
Absolutely. So how did More Vision come about?
Well, when she said this, I remember I felt so sad in a way that's how she felt. And I said to her, as soon as your little brother, because by then we'd had another one, and I said, as soon as your little brother goes to school, I will do something about it. And I did. The day he started primary school, I got on the computer and started looking things up, and I went to our local CVS, which was the charity's voluntary service, and they helped me with a startup grant and lots of other really helpful information. And I received a grant, and I thought up the name Moor Vision, Moor being from Dartmoor, and the vision obviously being the vision. And I just started it out of nothing, really. With me, and I managed through the Devon Education Department, I managed to track down four other mums of VI children, and that's how we started.
So what is it you know, as Moor Vision, you actually do today?
What we do today is, well, first of all, the five mums have grown now into 95 families. We started off originally being a group to support families of blind and visually impaired children in Devon. We've extended that because some of our children came along with blind and visually impaired parents where there was a genetic condition. And about 3 years ago, we started to include families with blind and visually impaired parents, regardless of whether or not the child or children were also blind and visually impaired. So we've now got some blind and visually impaired parents who have sighted children, which we feel is a really positive move because A, that their children get to join in all the fun, and B, we feel that our visually impaired children get to see some really good role models of parents who are working and who are bringing up children, and we just feel it's really positive for everybody.
And they are, I've met quite a few of them at our Clifden meetup, at the Timoth meetup, and they are an amazing group. The children are so inspiring, they really are, and the parents are great as well. It is a really good charity. So how can people get involved, Laura, if they live in what? I mean, I know it's in Devon, but is it a specific area or is it all of Devon? How can
We cover the whole of Devon, and that includes, because Devon is split into three county councils, which is Devon, Torbay and Plymouth. We don't make any distinction between them. There are sometimes complications if we have a speaker come from one of the county councils. It may be not covering all the areas, but we absolutely include everybody from Plymouth, from Devon and from Torbay. And we also welcome applications from people outside of the county. So we have one or two families from Cornwall, Dorset and Somerset. We've even got two from Avon. And we only put activities on in Devon because, you know, that's all we can do because we're a completely voluntary run group. But we certainly welcome applications from outside of the county as well. And we mainly what we do is we get people together, and we've grown from having sort of four activities a year to having about 10 activities a year. We always run a residential weekend for families, and we do about another 10 activities a year, which this year we've already had the Christmas pantomime, we've had which was all the audio described Christmas pantomime. We've had the audio described trip to the Lion King. We've had a swimming gala and supper evening. We've had a tactile art and craft day. And coming up, we've got a trip to Science Village. We've got a trip to Escott Park in East Devon. We always have an evening for our teenagers. We have a teenage pizza evening coming up. We always have a Christmas party. So we just have a variety of activities through the year that people can come along to.
Sure. So what's the way people can get in touch with you, and what, how can people find out more information?
Well, the group is free to join. So it's anybody can join who has a visually impaired child or parent in the group. We have a website, which is www.moorvision.org. People can contact us via the website. The website's got all our email information. We've got a Facebook page, which people can send messages on. We also take applications over the phone, by post, really, however people want to join. You just have to say, I want to join. We either email or post out paperwork that has to be filled in, or we fill out paperwork over the phone for people if that's easier for them. Can I just add something?
Of course.
Because this is quite important, we subsidise the cost of all our trips to quite a large degree. We spend a lot of time doing fundraising and grant applications. So Most of our trips are subsidised down to about 75% of what the cost would be, to 75% less of what the cost would be. So if it's a trip that would cost £10, we might charge £2.50. And the residentials particularly, which cost about £220 per person, we charge £75 for a three-day residential. And for families who are on low incomes, we can subsidise that further as well. So we don't, money shouldn't be a barrier to anybody joining.
So if you live in the Devon area, then please get in touch with Laura through, or one of the team through More Vision, through their website, or you can contact us at VI Talk and we'll be happy to put you in touch with Laura.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Okay, thank you.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.